Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This is the reading of God's word. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will bless the preaching of your word. Bless the person who is preaching, that he would be able to bring your word correctly. And be with all of us who are hearing your word. As we hear your word, let us hear your loving voice telling us about your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for us. As we hear your voice, let us grow in your word and let us be more and more like your Son. Bless your people and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, we will look at the letter that was sent to the church in Sardis. And verse 1 begins like this. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. He who has the seven spirits of God, seven spirits. We already saw the same phrase in chapter 1, verse 4, and have concluded that the phrase is referring to the Holy Spirit. And the number 7 points to the completeness, the perfectness. And chapter 5, verse 6 tells us that the phrase refers to the eyes of God that are sent out into all the earth. And seven stars, we saw this already, according to chapter 1, verse 20, we see how that phrase points to the church. So he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, He who rules over the church through the Holy Spirit. Remember, he has seven stars in his hand. He is sovereign Lord over his church. So he rules over the church through the Holy Spirit. He says, I know your deeds. In the other letters, we see our Lord's praise following this expression. Whenever Jesus says, I know your deeds, then in other letters we see his praise for that church, but here it is different. According to his judgment, according to the judgment of our Lord Jesus Christ, the church in Sardis is spiritually dead. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. They are known as Christians, but they are spiritually dead. They are spiritually sleeping. To the world and to other churches, they are alive. But to Jesus Christ, our Lord, they are dead. It is His judgment. They had no apparent persecutions like other churches that we saw before, no apparent false teachers or false teachings. From outside appearance, the church in Sardis was a good church. All the things that a good church must have on the outside appearance, the church in Sardis had them all. The members, without fail, came out to worship. The Bible studies. They gave offerings, participated in all kinds of services of the church, the prayer meetings, and so on. Nothing from the outside appearance, nothing to complain about this church. One pastor put it this way. This church in Sardis had peace, the peace of cemetery. You have a name that you are alive. Well, it is okay to understand this in the following way. They have a name that they are alive. The name of God is given to them during their baptism. Baptism is a sign of what spiritual realities? It is a sign and seal of the reality that we have been died with Christ and resurrected with Christ. That we are given God's name as we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That we are now members of God's family. That the life that we live now is the resurrected life of heaven. The members of the church in Sardis went through all the ceremonies of the church. They have name that they are alive. But, according to Jesus Christ, they are dead. If the situation is like this, what are they to do? Some people will say, see, they are spiritually dead. What they need is spiritual revival. They need to have the revival meetings. But is that what our Lord says to them? That is not what our Lord Jesus Christ tells them to do. And what does He say to them? These people who are spiritually dead. Verses 2 and 3. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. First, He says to wake up and strengthen the things that remain. Second, remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. And third, if you don't, then I will come like a thief to you. The phrase that we read in verse 2, wake up, or in other translation, be watchful. This is the phrase that our Lord Jesus used many times before during his earthly ministry. Here, Jesus is resurrected Lord, but he used this same phrase during his earthly ministry. Let us go there and let us find out the context in which he uses this phrase. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verses 36 all the way to 44. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Well, before I proceed, just on that verse, I mean, isn't it really clear that no one knows when he comes back? So when you hear somebody says to you that he will come back on such a date or, you know, specific time, you know he is not speaking according to the Bible. Yeah, I'm not going to go further than that. Yeah, verse 37, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert. There's that phrase. Watchful. Be watchful or wake up. Be on the alert. For you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. One more place, Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, I'm going to read verse 26. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And go down to verse 32. But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert. For you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert. There's that phrase. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Whether in the evening, at midnight, or even, or when rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. According to these passages, the phrase wake up or be watchful or be on the alert is used in connection to what event? Why are we to wake up and be on the alert? Because Jesus is coming back. He is coming again. And it is the same here. Wake up, God says. Because they are sleeping and they are dead in their hope of Christ's return. Then who is the one who is not sleeping or dead? The one that lives according to the reality of Jesus' return. The one that lives his life in preparation of Jesus' return. The one who lives with the hope of heaven. The one who lives his life according to the reality of his return, the reality of heaven. All my actions in my life here on earth must be centered around the reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished and the reality of my Lord's return. My works here must come out from my faith. My faith of what he has accomplished, my faith of his return. Otherwise, my works are no different than the works of non-believers. Non-believers can determine not to lie. And we do not lie. But it's not the same. The purpose and the motivation is completely different. Because works of non-believers, even if their works are good in the sight of the world, they are dead. Dead works. And Jesus is speaking to these kind of churchgoers, wake up and repent. Otherwise, I will come like a thief. Live your life according to the reality of his return. Live your life in view of his return. Because he is coming back. And we have to face him when he comes back. Live your life in preparation of his return. Actually, that is what our lives here are all about. It is preparing for his return. And you have to understand that. Because if you have your purpose in the wrong place, he's speaking to you to wake up, be on the alert. Second Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 10. But But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the day coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt in intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwell. Just one more verse. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless. I want you to understand there. In verse 11, it says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now God is commanding you to live a holy life. But what is the motivation for that kind of life? It is his return. Because earth will be destroyed. Because of that, we have to think about what sort of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless. We are to live that spotless, blameless life. But why? What is the motivation? Because we believe in these things. What are these things? The things that will happen when Jesus returns. Do you understand? Even as Peter tells you to live that holy life, the motivation and the purpose is connected to Jesus' coming back. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and live sensibly, righteously, and godly, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Verse 11. Do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleeping, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in caressing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. And look at how he puts it. We are to live that holy life because night is already almost over. the day of his coming is near. Do you understand, brothers and sisters? The motivation for all my works must be the reality of his return, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. I'm reading chapter 2. Chapter 1 verse 13. Therefore prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. And he continues to go on, you shall be holy. But he starts out, our hope has to be completely rest on that glory that will be revealed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One more verse and we move on. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Purifying oneself. We need to do all that. But where is that person who is purifying himself? Where is his focus? His focus is Jesus' return. Hope of heaven. That one day he will come back. And that we will be like him. Everyone who has hope fixed on that will purify himself. If you want to live that kind of life, you must have your focus fixed on that hope. There's no other way, brothers and sisters. It doesn't happen automatically. Someone that is not interested in heaven, someone who is interested only in this world, these are the ones who sleeps. They are the ones who Jesus calls dead. And they must wake up. And if you are like that, you must wake up. We must be watchful, be on the alert. You and I, we cannot and must not live like the ones who are sleeping or dead. Because that is simply, it's just, we are not like that. Mark chapter 4 provides us the reason for the word of God being unfruitful. That's why God has to give you an ear to hear. Even when you hear, well, anybody can do that. Even non-Christian can sit here and hear the voice. But the word they hear never becomes fruitful Why? Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower provides the answer. Verse 16 and 17, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Why it is not fruitful? Because when the persecutions and the afflictions happen in this world, they fall away. Verses 18 and 19 in that Mark chapter 4. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who had heard the word. See, notice in both places they hear the word. It's not like they never heard the word. They did hear. But the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Again, it tells you why the word is not fruitful, because of the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things in this world. They enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Their focus is on this world and about these kind of people. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, a dog returns to his own vomit. They are spiritually dead. They don't really care about his coming back. That is not their focus as they live their lives here. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 22. Which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Then what? What do we need to do? Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. They do so much ceremonies and they go through all kinds of activities of the church. The appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value. And God gives you something else that is of value. Set your mind on the things above. These people have the name. They have the appearance of holiness, but they are not holy. Only hope for these people is our Lord Jesus Christ, who has the seven spirits of God. He sends the Holy Spirit to his church to revive his people through his word, brothers and sisters in Christ. If we do live like the dead, then let us wake up and repent. Let us focus our eyes upon our Lord Jesus Christ, who will return for us, who will return for you. Verse 4, but you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. amazing grace of God. You have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. Do you see the grace of God in that? Because left alone, all will perish. Left alone, we'll all focus our eyes upon this world and this world alone. That's how sinful people live. But what do we see in this church? Even as God calls the church dead, but there are few people who are not soiled their garments. Grace of God. But by His grace, He will keep His people to the end. Verse 5a, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. White garments. Chapter 19, verse 8 says, fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. For the most in the church in Sardis, Jesus finds their deeds not completed in the sight of God, but a few people. They have not soiled their garments. They are worthy, he says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 14, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It is God who qualified us to be worthy in Jesus Christ. Who has made us worthy? It is our God. And who have not soiled their garments? Who are these people? Revelation chapter 7, verse 14b. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's not that they are perfect. They are sinners also. But they have not soiled their garment. What does that mean? That they have washed their garments in the blood of Jesus Christ. Your faith in Jesus Christ, in His cross and His righteousness. You continue to have that faith. And our robes will continue to be white in Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gate into the city. The white clothing is also bright and clean, covers our shame. Do you remember Adam when he sinned? He was so shameful, but God killed an animal and with his skin, he covered the shame. In Exodus, priests, they could not go into Holy of Holies because of their sin. But they could only when they washed their body and wore a priestly garment, which points to Jesus Christ's his righteousness. Only then they were able to go into the Holy of Holies. Zechariah chapter 3, we read about a story, Joshua the high priest, as our representative, and you see his filthy garment, it is off, and Jesus puts on the beautiful garment. And this is what happened to you. These few people, in them, I pray that you will see yourselves. You have not soiled your garment. No, you did sin. We're not saying that. But you believe your Lord Jesus Christ. You trust in Him. You believe that He died for your sins. That His righteousness has been imputed to you. For these people, verse 5b, and I will not erase His name from the book of life. And I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. This does not imply that our name can be erased from the book of life. No. John chapter 6, verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. What is he saying by that he will not erase his name from the book of life? Jesus says that he will not lose anyone. All those people that the Father has given him, he will not lose anyone. And that is how we are to understand our verse. When he says that he will not erase our names from the book of life, he is saying that he will not lose you and lose me. He gives us the certainty that our names are not going to be erased in the book of life. Our names, the names of us who have confessed the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus will confess them, those names, before the Father and before the angels when he returns. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us examine ourselves and our church to see if we are like the most of those who are in the church in Sardis. Let us examine ourselves and let us examine Christ and Heaven OPC. Let us not be like these people who had the name that they are alive, but they are dead. Brothers and sisters, do we live like them? Are we like them? Is Christ and Heaven OPC like the church in Sardis? Then let us wake up. But I do not believe that we are like that. Actually, we are the opposite of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. We are as dying, yet behold, we live. We are the opposite of what we see in the church in Sardis. That outwardly, we are dying, and yet we live. That's who we are, because we have been awakened. We are on the alert. Let us be watchful. Let us eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us live our lives here on earth in view of his return, in preparation of his return. Let us live our lives in the hope of his return, in the hope of heaven. And if we do that, this is what God says. 1 Thessalonians, let us go there and we'll read that and we'll finish today. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Do you remember what Jesus says? He said, if you do not wake up, then he will come like a thief. But look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, because you are not sleeping, that the day will overtake you like a thief. It will not. Why? Because we are watchful. Because we are waking up. Because we are ready for his return. If we eagerly wait for him, his return will not be like a coming of a thief. It's when we are sleeping, it will be like that. Think about it. If we constantly wait for his return, how can he come like a thief? How? That's what he's saying. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert. Again, that phrase, let us be alert and be sober. This is what our Lord is saying to all of us. He who has an ear, let him hear and be blessed, and let us wake up and eagerly wait for his coming back. No, he's not going to be like a thief to us. As soon as we see just little indication of his coming, we'll be the first one to get out there. No, he's not a thief to us. But we must wake up. Be on the alert. Eagerly wait for his return. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace upon your church. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your warnings. We thank you for the promises that you make to your people, your church. Oh Father, we confess our sins. There are so many distractions in our lives that we lose focus. But Father, by your grace, let us set our minds upon the things above. And let us have our eyes focused on Jesus Christ who will come back. Let us eagerly wait for his return, so that when he comes, it will be the greatest, the joyous, happiest day for all of us. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.